Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Film Fans Podcast, the podcast from movie fans for movie fans. I'm your host, Ryan Dunleavy. That's my co-host, Rob Dunham.
Hi, everybody.
How's it going?
I'm doing all right. Just got back from the movies.
Well, what do you know? A movie podcaster who goes to see movies.
It's like I'm contractually obligated to go see new movies. How terrible.
I know. That's what we get paid the big bucks for around here.
The $0 and 0 cents that we're making off of this podcast.
Hey, how come you're making more money than I am?
Oh, wow. Actually, I guess I'm not actually making that because I am paying to go see movies. So
this is true.
Yeah.
This is true. But we have an excellent show for you. We are going to talk about the box office update. Our discussion for today is we're going to give you a preview of the movies coming out over the next 3 months. So you're going to get a good dive into everything coming out that you might want to see. We're going to highlight a few come out all before the summer movie season kicks off in May. So we'll catch you caught up until there. And then we'll close out, as we always do, with our watch list movies we've watched over the last week. All right, Rob, what do you think? Are you ready for a box office update?
It's incredibly depressing, but sure, give it to us.
Yeah, box office overall not great, but there were significant snow and weather impacts on this weekend's box office, but it wasn't great. Number one movie in the U.S. this past weekend was Mercy, the new movie from Rebecca Ferguson and Chris Pratt. Did $11.1 million in its first week in the box office to take home number one. Avatar, Fire and Ash, in its sixth week, did $7 million. That movie has done $378 million. So not going to get close to the $1 billion mark on this one. Zootopia 2 did $5.7 million. Zootopia 2, in 9 weeks, $401 million. And it is still in the top three in the box office 9 weeks after debuting. So good launch timing for Zootopia 2, and clearly a fantastic result for that film. Number four in its sixth week is The Housemaid, $4.2 million. That movie is up to $115 million domestically, and that is fantastic for that movie. And number five in its second week in the box office, falling from number two to number five, is 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple. Did $3.6 million, has a two-week total of $20.7 million. So some interesting things in the box office, Rob, despite the fact that none of these movies made a ton of money. What do you make of any of it?
The first one, I think Mercy, they're probably not super thrilled with $11 million, considering it cost $60 million reportedly to make.
Yeah.
We both saw this movie. Mm-hmm. The one thing I'll say before we get to talking about our watch list is, as I was watching it, I was kind of wondering how it cost $60 million to make.
Yeah. There's not a ton of, you know, I mean, there's some special effects. There's some work along those lines, but you wouldn't have thought it would take that much million.
It was probably more the salaries of the actors involved than anything else, I'm guessing.
Probably.
Because that movie could have probably been made for $10 to $20 million less and been nearly as good, my opinion.
Yeah.
The other thing I will say is The Bone Temple dropped 71.2%.
Yes.
That's not good.
That's not great, no.
Yeah, and might not be good for the reported plans that they wanted to finish off the series with a third movie.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how realistic that's going to be, given how this one has done in the box office.
Yeah, I mean, and what we won't really know is how much the weather affected the box office, because significant parts of the country were experiencing massive weather, whether it was like Saturday, it was incredible cold, or the snowstorm on Sunday. So it's hard to say how much this would have been different had we had just kind of a normal weather weekend. But either way, it's yeah, the box office got hit a little bit hard this weekend.
Yeah, and I do know that the theater that I go to most often, Queensgate, was closed on Sunday. So I'm sure there were lots of theaters all over the country that were closed, at least on Sunday.
Yeah. And while Sunday is not like like the heyday, like the amazing movie week close to the weekend day, it's still you still do make a decent amount of money on Sundays, and that still does make a difference. So I don't know. I mean, I thought Mercy deserved to be better than $11.1 million in terms of quality of the film, but we can get to that in our watch list. It is fascinating to me. What do you make of the results for Avatar: Fire and Ash? It's probably about what I was expecting, a significant drop off from the second one. Do you think, like, he was talking like, oh, if this one doesn't do well, then, maybe we won't make some of the other ones. What do you make of it? Is given the extensive amount of time and budget and energy those movies cost, what do you make of Avatar: Fire and Ash's return?
I mean, it's still going to end up making a good amount of money globally because people in other markets are going to go see it. So,
For sure.
probably still going to push towards $1 billion, I would guess, at least when you factor in the global box office.
Yeah.
I think it'll probably make enough that he'll want to keep doing it. But I also think he's probably a little bit disappointed. They're probably a little bit disappointed in how it's done so far in the United States.
Yeah. I get that they are. I'm just not surprised. Yeah, the housemaid has had surprisingly good legs in terms of staying power. Because even in its first couple weeks, it did fine. Like it's just like, oh, that was good for that, right? But it's just kind of kept chugging along and kept chugging along and kind of kept making the same amounts. And it's yeah, it's I mean, that's definitely considered a success. For sure. So I don't know. We'll see. But the other interesting thing is there is two movies that came out in January in the box office right now in the top five. Two. Every other movie in there has been out 6 weeks or more. So that's not saying a whole lot about the January release schedule this year. Or frankly, even the Christmas release schedule. None of the movies that came out like Christmas Day are really in the bot around the box office anymore. So I don't know. All right. Well, we've got a few movies coming out this coming weekend, and they offer you have a little bit of variety. First one we'll talk about is Iron Lung. Rated R, 2 hours and 7 minutes. It's a horror film. And in this one, in a post-apocalyptic future after the Quiet Rapture event, a convict explores a blood ocean on a desolate moon using a submarine called the Iron Lung to search for missing stars and planets. So kind of sci-fi horror. Next up, we have Melania, PG 144 runtime. It's a documentary. An intimate chronicle offers a rare glimpse into the life of Melania Trump, exploring her role as first lady and her relationship with the president. Interestingly enough, directed by Brett Ratner. Haven't heard from him in a while. Send Help, rated R, 1 hour, 53 minutes. It's a horror film as well. An employee and her insufferable boss become stranded on a deserted island, the only survivors of a plane crash. Here, they must overcome past grievances, work together to survive, and will they make it out alive? Director here is Sam Raimi. So Sam Raimi returning to his horror roots on this particular film. And finally, we have Shelter, rated R, 1 hour, 47 minutes. This is an action drama film. A reclusive, or should say, a recluse on a remote Scottish island rescues a girl from the sea, unleashing a perilous sequence of events that culminate in an attack on his home, compelling him to face his turbulent history. I'll give you one guess as to who stars in this particular film. Well, you could probably get it in two guesses, but
I don't remember.
Yeah, the two guesses that you would think based on those titles would be either Liam Neeson or Jason Statham.
Oh,
And
yeah.
in fact, Jason Statham.
Yeah.
So, yes, that is a Jason Statham action film. So, what do you make of any of the movies coming out? Which one would be first on your list here to see?
First on the list, for me, I think would be Send Help.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of who's involved. Sam Raimi, primarily. Pretty interesting director.
Yeah.
And, you know, just overall, the concept sounds pretty cool to me.
Yeah.
As far as not wanting to see, why is there a documentary about Melania Trump? Just
I don't know. Somebody's gonna go see it, I guess. Who knows?
I can't think of something I would want to see less. So, but Iron Lung also looks kind of interesting. Is a film by Markiplier, who is a YouTube guy. So, yeah, that could be really interesting or really terrible.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to make of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be interesting. We'll have to see about that. I mean, I like some of the premises of some of these horror films. I just don't love that that's the direction that they'll probably end up in too much in horror for my liking on that front. I would probably be most interested in seeing Shelter. I could use a good action drama. Good Jason Statham beating people up. Nothing wrong with that. Just
sometimes good. You just need to see Jason Statham beat people up.
Yeah, good clean fun, you know. Gotta love it. I mean, hey, if you're good at one thing, be good at it.
Yeah, I mean, I did quite enjoy The Beekeeper the other year. So, you know, sometimes they're just fun to watch and turn your brain off.
For sure. For sure. All right. So that's a little bit of a box office roundup. I don't know that any of those movies are going to give you massive box office appeal, broad ranging, but you never know. I do want to ask you about something else before we get to our actual discussion. Just kind of an observation I've had recently. Is it just me or are there more horror movies coming out?
Yeah, I think that like more regularly.
More regularly, more frequently, more of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a theory on this, and it goes back to what we've regularly maintained about horror films is that their budgets are low. They don't rely heavily on like big name actors, and they usually make a decent amount of money. So I'm wondering if this isn't the studios saying, hey, let's put out more horror movies because we can actually make money on some of these films fairly consistently.
Yeah. And
they have lower overhead than some of the other ones. I'm wondering if we're starting to see that as a trend just because of the profile of how these movies do in the box office.
Yeah, and with like Shudder and Blumhouse and Atomic Monster coming together and some of these other like production houses, there's a few more established production avenues for horror movies that are like, and even like the one I watched tonight, Return to Silent Hill, had a fairly significant foreign backing to it. That's also becoming a thing. I think that's why we're seeing some of these smaller genres of movies coming out with more movies, because the foreign investment is becoming more prevalent and more likely to actually see those movies be released in the box office in the United States
Yeah.
too, and not just internationally.
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that. So, yeah, that just popped into my head. So I thought I would, bring that up and see what you made of that particular development. So,
yeah, and very rarely are there like horror movies that I've got like circled on the calendar, like I've got to go see this. Like usually it's, I see a trailer at another horror movie I'm at, and I'm like, oh, that looks interesting, I'll go see that one. It's typically how it goes. Now there is one coming out in the next few months when we get to that discussion that like I've got circled on my list of like I need to go see that, but that's not usually the case for me, at least when it comes to that kind of movie.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Now we will move on to our discussion for the evening, I guess I should say. And our discussion for this week is the winter box office preview. Since we're in a new year, and I thought we'd give you an update on movies that you can expect to come out in February, March, and April, leading up into the big blockbuster season starting in May. So we're going to get you everything you need to know about the box office coming up in the next couple months. So how we'll do this is we'll run through what comes out each week in a given month, and then we'll pause and talk about any particular movies we'd like to highlight from that month. So let's start out with February. And in February, starting in February 6th, three movies to just make mention of. Dracula, A Love Tale. You have, that is of course a retelling of Dracula. The famous story there. And again, that week, I was trying to look that up. I can get there right away. The next movie on this list, for something entirely different, Solo Mio. Solo Mio is a film starring Kevin James and has kind of an interesting plot. Kevin James is supposed to get married and go on his Italian honeymoon. He gets stood up and then decides to go on the honeymoon and meet all kinds of people and experience all kinds of things in Italy himself. I think we've seen a lot of movies with a similar plot from the female perspective. It would be interesting to see that. And Kevin James is always good and interesting and fun. And on February 6th, you also have The Strangers Chapter 3. February 13th, we get a crime drama, Crime 101, Chris Hemsworth, Mark Ruffalo, Halle Berry. You also get Wuthering Heights comes out, the latest iteration of that film. This one's going to star Margot Robbie, and Charlie XCX is creating an album specifically for that film. You also have on February 13th, you have GOAT, the animated kind of basketball movie starring Steph Curry as one of the basketball players. And you also have Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die with Sam Rockwell and Juno Temple. February 20th, you get How to Make a Killing, which has a pretty big cast. Glenn Powell, Ed Harris, Margaret Qualley, Topher Grace are among those in that film. And then you also have I Can Only Imagine 2. It comes out on February 20th. February 27th, you get two films of note. Scream 7 comes out, and Neve Campbell returns in Scream 7. And then Baz Luhrmann is back. He has an epic Elvis Presley in concert film, which is coming out as well. So that's just a brief look at it. What are there any movies in February you want to highlight yourself?
So I have two. Should I do both of them?
You go for it.
Okay. So my first one was on February 13th. Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die.
Yeah.
Mainly because of who is the star, Sam Rockwell. So this movie is about a guy who says he's from the future, who takes a bunch of people hostage in an LA diner to try and get them to save the world.
Yeah.
That premise combined with Sam Rockwell, that sounds incredible.
It does. Yeah. Sam
Rockwell. So this movie was actually released for the first time or shown for the first time in September of last year at a convention called Fantastic Fest, which is in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. It's actually like the biggest fantasy sci-fi movie festival in the United States. One of the top three ones in the entire world. So I don't know if that means that technically this movie is a 2025 movie, but it's not being released for a theatrical audience in the United States until February 13th. So
yeah,
I think for our end of the year list, we count it as a 2026 movie. I do think, like, based on the premise and based on who's in it, even before seeing it, I feel like it has a very good chance to end up in my top 10 at the end of the year. Because it just sounds like, it sounds like a lot of fun.
It does. And
it sounds off the rails.
For sure.
The other one would be Scream 7, February 27th. Although I'm approaching this one with a bit of trepidation because I really thought they ended the series really well with the last one. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest, the Scream series is never going to end. There will always be someone else in the Ghostface mask. terrorizing people, and Neve Campbell will always be coming back, and Jennifer Love, everyone will be coming back. They'll never die, you know. It's a never ending franchise. So
yeah,
we'll just keep seeing it more and more and more.
Yes, what is dead may never die.
Yes.
Okay. So I have two also that I want to highlight. This number one is Crime 101. Chris Hemsworth, Mark Ruffalo, Halle Berry. I love a good heist film. Good heist films are fantastic. I hope this is the next one in the series of excellent heist films. We might have to do a episode on great heist films at some point. But I'm intrigued by this. And basically the idea, you know, classic plot, an elusive thief, he's eyeing one last score, recruits a disillusioned insurance broker onto his side. You know, the storylines are intertwined. They're getting chased down by a detective, that sort of thing. How's it going to end up? So I love a good heist film. Crime 101 seems like an excellent opportunity for that. And so I'm looking forward to this one. This is probably one of the ones I'm most looking forward to in this block of months. This particular film, I've seen the trailer for it a few times. I am definitely interested.
So have you seen the newest trailer for this, where they like talk about the making of the movie and stuff?
I did not see the one where they talked about the making of it, no.
So there's a very interesting trailer out that has me a little concerned.
Okay.
Because there are certain kinds of trailers that concern me. Like one we've talked about, when they advertise and they say, from the people who brought you, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, uh-huh. Oh, well, they're not so sure about this one. They rely on the other ones. Well, there's a trailer out for this movie that has all the actors in it, like, talking directly to the camera, like, about how good the movie is. Like, Mark Ruffalo's like, it has all the elements of, like, a perfect heist movie, like, and he's listing things, and, like, Chris Hemsworth is like, but it's also got this great emotional backstory, and, like, basically the whole trailer is like, this movie is the best movie ever made, like, you totally should go watch it, which makes me a little concerned.
I can understand that for sure.
Like, I guess it seems to me like a reaction of people weren't reacting the way we wanted them to react to this trailer or the screening process. So we need to get out there and tell people that they need to go see this movie because it's so great.
I did see a very, very dramatic trailer for Wuthering Heights. And so I'm sure that's going to,
yeah,
that's going to, some people will go see that for sure.
So what else you got?
The number two for me is How to Make a Killing. Glenn Powell, Ed Harris, Margaret Qualley, Topher Grace, basically a disavowed. He was a guy was disavowed at birth by an insanely wealthy family, and he returns to try and reclaim his inheritance. The main crux for me on this one is just the high quality of the cast. And that's what makes it interesting to me, is you get that those particular actors in a film, and I'm much more likely to go see it as a result of that. The plot seems like the plot in and of itself doesn't seem that interesting, but it does kind of have some like dark comedy elements to it. So I'm intrigued as to how good this will be. And I will look forward to it coming out, and we'll see about going there. All right, let's move on to March. So March, we get March 6th, we have Hoppers, the new Disney Pixar movie coming out. We've got Protector, which is kind of exactly what it sounds like in terms of kind of an action drama. And then you have The Bride. Are you familiar with The Bride?
The Bride is my most anticipated movie of the next 4 months.
I am not surprised there. Jesse Buckley, Jake Gyllenhaal, and who else is it?
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale, yes. Christian Bale. This, we'll, I'm sure we'll cover this, so I'll leave that one for right now. March 13th, you get Reminders of Him, the latest Colleen Hoover book adaptation. She has had a number of other books turned into movies. And so this is right along those lines of like dramatic heartfelt dramas. You get The Breadwinner, a film with Nate Bargatze as the star in there. So you're going to get a comedy in The Breadwinner. And then you're going to get an interesting film called Undertone, which is kind of a horror genre film where it kind of pulls in podcasters who examine mysteries, get mysteriously sent recordings to them. They try to air them live. It doesn't get played. And then a mysterious podcast gets loaded up onto their feed and they don't know where it came from. So yeah, Undertone. March 20th, you have Project Hail Mary. Ryan Gosling stars in this one. This is the Andy Weir book adaptation. Of course, Andy Weir wrote The Martian, which was turned into that excellent film that came out in 2015. This is the next book or film adaptation we're getting from Andy Weir. Also, I had to include this just because of the quote-unquote title. March 20th is scheduled to release an untitled Matt Stone, Trey Parker musical.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's of note. No idea what it's about or what it is, but it's Matt Stone and Trey Parker doing a musical. Intriguing. And March 27th, you get Ready or Not 2, Here I Come. This is a follow-up to the 2019 original movie, Ready or Not. And then another horror genre one, They Will Kill You. So yeah, if that's
ready or not, they will kill you.
Ready or not, they will kill you. Yay. All right, so what do you got from March?
March, The Bride.
Yeah,
like I said, I love Frankenstein. I love Christian Bale. I love artistic movies. This looks like it's gonna check all those boxes for me. The trailer has me very excited about the movie.
The trailer is like, oh my goodness, this is going to be something, that's for sure. Is this an A24 film?
No, but it feels like it should be.
It has that A24 studio vibe to it out the wazoo. It's, yeah. Just to give you, let me look up The Bride here. Just to give you a little bit of a plot summary. 1930 Chicago, Frankenstein asked Dr. Euphonious, I probably didn't say that right, to help create a companion. They give life to a murdered woman as the bride, sparking romance, police interest, and radical social change. Yeah. This one's going to be interesting.
Yeah, this will probably be a movie that people either really love or really can't stand.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm going to be one of the people who really loves it.
I'm sure you will. Like, you are seeing quite a bit of the kind of like jump back to the classics of the horror with a bunch of Dracula movies, Frankenstein movies. Yeah, it's interesting. I think that's all part of that like resurgence of horror that's going on right now.
Didn't know anything about this movie when I saw the first trailer
for
it. And before they even showed who Christian Bale was, I was like, oh, this is The Bride of Frankenstein. And then like I was very happy when they revealed the title was The Bride. I was like, I knew it. Like,
yeah.
It was awesome. Uh-huh. Other one for me is Project Hail Mary, because I think it's gonna be a great movie. A good feel good movie probably. Although, like you said, they gave away some major things in the trailers, so we'll kind of see are they actually saving anything for the movie?
Yeah, I've been super excited about this project since like the moment it was announced. Because I read the book. The book is fantastic. It is so so good. It's right up the lines. If you liked kind of the like technical detail and the specifics that Andy Weir really brought to The Martian. And The Martian was one of the great movies of the last 10 years. I mean, really, really fantastic movie. It's on my list of top movies of all time. It was so good. If they even remotely come close to replicating what they did with The Martian adaptation, then I think Project Hail Mary is going to be great. I do have like the concerns about like giving a bunch of stuff away. We'll see. That's a strategy. But this is probably outside of the big ones, this year, Dune 3 and Odyssey, this is probably the movie I'm most excited for, Project Hail Mary. So I am looking forward to having that come out early in the year. It's nice to have something, especially for a relatively underwhelming March, to have something that I'm that excited about will be something I'm very pleased with. All right. And we will conclude with April. April, you get April 3rd. You have Super Mario Brothers Galaxy movie. So that was this is the follow-on to the Super Mario Brothers cartoon movie that did extremely well a few years ago. Then you have the drama that same week, which stars Zendaya and Robert Pattinson, a happy couple engaged. Happy engaged couple is put to the test when they have an unexpectedly turn sends their wedding week off the rails. So Zendaya and Robert Pattinson, you got that. April 10th, you got You, Me, and Tuscany, about a woman who meets a man in Tuscany, or meets a man who's from Tuscany, goes out there and then like camps out in his house pretending to be his wife. A little bit of While You Were Sleeping type vibes to it. And then there's Hunting Matthew Nichols, which is a film that is kind of a drama documentary about a woman searching for her missing brother, and kind of giving you up-to-date facts on that one as well. And next up is, if I can get there, April 17th. April 17th, you have Lee Cronin's The Mummy comes out from Warner Brothers. You also have Normal, which is, a sheriff. It looks like kind of a Midwestern American town is meant to be welcome respite from both mental and from marital woes, recent injuries in line of duty. A botched bank robbery interrupts the municipality's tranquil peace, and a dark secret is revealed. Ulysses must soon discover that the town is anything but its namesake. So, yeah, got an interesting one there. And April 24th, the big one here is Michael. So you get your musical biopic of Michael Jackson comes out on the 24th. So an interesting month of April here. What do you make of it? Anything you want to highlight?
The only movie that really stood out to me at all was the Super Mario Brothers movie. Mm-hmm. And even that, I'll probably go see it because my son will definitely want to see it. And I did like the other one. But I also kind of felt like the other one felt like lightning in a bottle to me.
Mm.
Like, there had never been a good Super Mario Brothers movie, so it made a ton of money because people were just desperate for there to be a good one.
Yeah.
I don't personally think there's going to be as big a reaction to this one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think a lot of people are going to be like, oh, they're making another Super Mario Brothers movie? That's interesting. And then not go see it.
Yeah, I honestly think this one's going to do well. I don't know that it will. I mean, the other was kind of surprising how well it did. Now, I went and saw it because of like, wow, this movie is doing so well. It must be something amazing. And I thought it was fine. Like, I didn't have any issues with it. It was fine. But I couldn't sit there and tell you why everyone loved it the way they did, except for maybe it was that nostalgic factor that kind of pulled multiple generations in. We'll see if this one does the same. I'm guessing you're not going to get the nostalgia people, but you probably still get the kids and the, a decent crowd. So I think it's got a chance to do well. I just not sure that it's going to do anywhere close to what the last one did. For me, I will highlight two. I will highlight the drama with Zendaya and Robert Pattinson. I like Robert Pattinson as an actor. Zendaya I can be up and down on, but I think this one has some interesting plots. It's kind of a romantic comedy, and we just don't see very many romantic comedies at all. And I hope it's good. That would be my take. I hope I hope someone can pull off a decent romantic comedy. If they can do it, I'll be happy about that. And I will probably go see Michael. I think, I mean, Michael Jackson certainly deserves a musical biopic. And I do like his music. Now, I'm not a huge Michael Jackson fan, but I can definitely relate to the appeal of a spec, in particular, the movie or the that his main album that did so well, is one of the best selling albums of all time, which is going to be heavily featured in this. But it's basically about his rise to becoming the king of pop. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Antoine Fuqua, kind of a legendary director there, mans the directorial options on this one. So I think it will be good. I've seen the trailer a few times. The one thing I don't know if, like, the actor pretending to talk like Michael Jackson, like, I don't know if that's going to bother me or not. like that kind of high-pitched voice going there. I'm not sure if that's going to bug me, because it kind of bugged me in the trailer, but I don't know. Maybe it'll be fine. Alrighty then. That is a good encapsulation of what's going on at the box office over the next 3 months. So hopefully you found something in there that intrigues you and you can find good reasons to go to the box office. I mean, we know something else does. The early part of the year seems a little bit slow, but it's going to pick up this summer and into the fall for sure. You're going to have some epic battles, head-to-head battles going on this summer, which we'll highlight later, of course. So now we'll close out with our watch list, movies we watched over the last week. Rob, what'd you watch?
So I know we both saw Mercy.
Yes, we did.
So my thoughts on Mercy were that it was an enjoyable hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't a whole lot of movies that are an hour and a half anymore.
Nope.
It was kind of neat that it was pretty close to being one-to-one on time with the countdown clock that was happening in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously they had to skip ahead at certain points because, one, there was some stuff before that happened in the movie.
Yeah.
And then there was stuff after it happened in the movie. So it wasn't quite exactly an hour and a half to the hour and a half that was happening on the clock.
Yeah.
But it was pretty close. And I thought that Chris Pratt did a really good job in his role, essentially being strapped to a chair the entire time. also, you don't see Chris Pratt being like not the like hero,
mm-hmm.
it seems like, super often in the movies that he's done. This kind of gave you a more nuanced performance from him because he was kind of a bad guy at certain points in the movie. The one thing that I don't know if I loved was just, I understand the concept of like learning AI and like how it can change how it interacts and reacts to things.
Mm-hmm.
But when you set out the premise of the movie as like, this is the impartial AI that can't be emotionally swayed, blah, 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 blah. And then like towards the end, it's kind of like, oh, but I'm being emotionally swayed. Like it didn't really resonate with me as being believable.
Yeah.
Which was my biggest frustration with the movie as a whole, I would say.
Yeah, all of that's fair. I did also thoroughly enjoy it. Both of the lead actors here had some interesting, significant challenges that tested their acting abilities. Like you mentioned Chris Pratt, the fact that he was basically strapped to a chair. And so his all of his acting was having to be done through his vocal intonation and, you know, limited hand movements and you know, his expression. So he had to be very expressive and very emotional in his performance. Contrast that with Rebecca Ferguson, who I think is fantastic and so good. But her challenge was she's supposed to be an impartial AI. So how do you create a compelling character that's supposed to be an impartial, dispassionate judge? And so that's a challenging thing to make that character compelling. And I do think it's interesting because it's obviously a departure from the traditional judicial system, but there are times where the judge character is kind of like almost his advocate as well, like reminding him like, hey, why don't you look here? Why don't you try this? Those type of things. So I found that interesting. It's one of those where it's not what we're used to from judges. So I wasn't sure how to interpret that. Okay. Since this system, they don't really get lawyers. Is the judge kind of acting like as half a lawyer and half a judge on some of this stuff? Is that kind of how the system works? They don't really get into enough of the background to give you kind of how that lays out. And that's fine because, like you said, they're trying to keep it tight. And so that's the one thing that's nice about the film is the pacing is good. It moves quickly. You move from one thing to the next, from one thing to the next. It never slows down to the point where you feel like it's dragging in any way. It's nice for a movie to kind of get in, say what it's got to say, and get out. And so I enjoyed that part of it. What else did you see?
I actually saw Silent Hill, Silent Hill 2, and Return to Silent Hill.
Ah, okay.
I wanted to watch the first two because I knew the new one was out this weekend. It's not really related to the first two because the first one and the second movie is a sequel to the first movie. And they're both based on the first game the first movie is based on the first game in the video game series. The second movie is a sequel to the first movie, which it's not actually related to any of the games that came out. It's more related to the movie. And the third movie is related to the second game in the video game series that came out. So that's not confusing at all.
Yeah.
Silent Hill is a town ostensibly in West Virginia, where coal fires have been burning underneath the town, that never went out. And there's religious zealots and a cult and demonic forces and all kinds of crazy things. And when the sun goes down and the air raid siren goes off, everything goes to hell. And it's kind of loose. Town itself is based loosely on Centralia, Pennsylvania, which is a place where there are still actually coal fires actively burning underneath the town, to the point where it's abandoned. Silent Hill is based on that concept. Out of the three movies, the first one was the best. The newest one was the second best. And the second one was the absolute worst. none of them are great movies. There's a lot of like here and there with the storyline. There's a lot of confusion with what's actually real, what's not real, especially in the newest one. It was incredibly confusing to try and figure out what was actually happening and what wasn't happening. If any of it was happening at all, was the main impetus this religious cult? Was the main impetus this guy's interpersonal demons? Like, was his wife alive? Was she dead? Like, there's so much stuff happening. One thing I found very interesting is the first and third movies were directed by the same guy, but he dropped out of the second movie, and the guy who wrote the first movie dropped out of writing the second movie because he was convicted of vehicular manslaughter.
Ah, that would be a reason.
So there's quite a lot happening in the background of these movies. This movie is one of the newest one. Is one of the few movies I've seen that was shot a lot in Serbia and Germany. It was really interesting. I enjoyed it. I wouldn't say it's great. In fact, I would say out of the four movies I watched this year so far, it is number four.
Okay.
But it was, if you have seen Silent Hill 2 and didn't like that, this is better. But I can't tell you it's that much better. and we're at a point now with CGI, especially with movies like this, where sometimes when you're watching a movie, it kind of feels like you're watching a video game. Because everything is just so like smooth and CGI. Like, it's hard for me to describe.
Yeah.
But like almost like you're not actually watching people. You're just watching like in animation. When the movie's not supposed to be animated. There were some quite incredible and disgusting things happening in the movie that if you're a fan of that kind of thing, you would enjoy. But yeah, I wouldn't say that it was that scary for me, at least. But yeah, so I watched a lot of Silent Hill, this week.
Yeah.
And I watched Mercy. So.
Okay. The other one I watched this week was I finally got around to watching A House of Dynamite, the Netflix film, kind of starring Rebecca Ferguson. That was one of the reasons why I got around to watching it, because I like Rebecca Ferguson. However, she's only in like the first 15 minutes of the movie or 20 minutes of the movie or something like that. And then she's not in it again, really. Basically, this movie is interesting from the standpoint of it's got an interesting kind of plot device, in that a nuclear missile gets launched towards the US. And they basically tell you the story of, like, I want to say 4 or 5 different sets of people who are kind of in the loop on responsible for trying to deal with this. And they give you their story. They basically give you how they react up until the critical moment. And then once you reach the critical moment, then they go back and tell you that same set of that same story and the same time frame from another perspective with some of the other characters involved. And they do that 3 or 4 times. And each you kind of get more information each time a different story unfolds. And so all of it culminating in the moment where you're like, okay, is it going to happen or is it not? And that's basically the plot device of the movie. It has a interesting ending, I would say. I can't say I love the ending, but I understand the choices they made in the ending. But I don't want to give it away if you have not seen the movie. I'd say, is it worth watching? Yeah, it's worth watching. Is it great? It's not fantastic, but it's not bad. It's just like, it's par for the course for what I've seen from a streaming movie. It's got a good cast. It's got some decent elements and decent moments in it. It's nothing crazy or unbelievable from that standpoint. And it has an interesting end. So yeah, House of Dynamite. Also, I think Mercy is worth seeing as well. You got anything else, Rob?
I do not.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have, folks. And make sure you visit filmforfans.com. Like, subscribe, talk to your friends about it. Until next time, enjoy the movies.